Yeah.
Now that Valentine's Day is over,
sure.
I'm thinking about St. Patrick's Day, so let's get our wishes ready for a leprechaun.
Oh, okay. I got a few. What are your wishes, Rashi?
My wish is for a big hammer so I can smash a leprechaun.
A pretty good wish.
Yeah. What's yours?
A spatula so I could scoop up the remains of the leprechaun.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Paul Dini.
This is Misty Lee. Oh my God, you guys, I'm so excited. We got awesome guests today.
Lies.
No, true.
True, true.
When are they showing up?
Inappropriate response. What, Liz?
When are they showing up?
They're here. We have Ezra here, of course. Hey. And Ezra's awesome. But we are so awesome.
And we need to congratulate Ezra and Emily.
Can
Emily
we do that later?
We could. let's do it now. Let's
nope,
take a moment for Ezra, who's here every week helping us and everything, and let's acknowledge his and Emily's engagement. Hooray!
Yay! Congratulations, sucker! Yeah, welcome to the club.
Here's to hoping welcome. Your dad already found out by the time this airs.
Right?
Welcome to Club Misery. All right.
Thank you. That was very wow. I wish this was a video podcast. The look on Misty's face was priceless.
Very nice.
Oh. Yeah, it was sort of like a speak for yourself, a-hole.
Oh, because I'm happy?
No. Oh. It's like
welcome
I really want to see you sleep in that tiny little car of yours.
Welcome to the therapy podcast.
It's not the sleeping question. It's the waking up.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's
so,
right.
Guys, we have... So, Ezra and Emily got engaged last night. And, Ezra, do you
Wonderful.
Have a microphone? Can you tell yes. them what happened?
We made plans
nervous.
To go see the Magic Castle, watch Missy's seance. And I figured, what a perfect time. She won't ever expect it because it was her idea. So I hired a magician to help me out and talk her into sitting down for a magic trick. And under the guise of publicity for the Magic Castle, and he slipped her the ring at the end of the trick and let me propose, and she said yes.
So after you untied her from the chair, after she
yes.
said yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Then she ran away, and I caught her, and you know she still said yes. That's
great.
It's just like how you proposed.
That's right. Yeah.
How did you propose? How did that? You know. By the way, we have Bizarro and Liz with us tonight.
Yay, our two guests.
You could have just let us be disembodied voices and let them figure it out.
Yeah, eventually, right?
The
yeah.
spirits have come.
Yeah. Ooh. Well, they better. That's kind of my job. Mm-hmm. So how did he propose to you?
Oh God.
It was a very non-proposal.
What does that mean?
Didn't really ask.
Whoa.
We're in a cruise ship and I was outside taking pictures of the moon. And he's like, come inside. No, I'm doing something. Come inside. Like 5 minutes of come inside. No, I'm busy. So I came inside and I'm sitting on the bed.
Looking through photos looking on the photos, camera, ignoring me completely.
I'm doing something. So he's like, no, come here. So I turn around. Remember that one thing we discussed the other week? So did you still want to?
As I put the dollar store, not dollar store, the dollar color-changing plastic ring that I picked
no.
up that night at a...
No.
Oh, yes.
Wow.
It changed color in the
that
sun.
Doesn't fit because it's a kid's ring.
We were in Alaska, and I jumped out. We were walking around some town.
Can,
the
stop.
Town was.
What were you doing on a cruise ship in Alaska?
Debating pushing his mother overboard?
Yeah, right. There was that.
Okay.
The fact she came back alive is a miracle.
She didn't.
She's still floating out somewhere in the sea.
No, the alcohol preserved her. She died years ago.
My father's company, he's a machinist, was saying, hey, we're going to send you guys on a cruise. If you want to take some of the people, it'll be cheap. And they're like, you should go with us. And I said, through a week enclosed on a boat with my mom. That sounds great. But what the hell? So we went out, did that, and they'd stop at ports and here and there. And there's a ton of jewelry stores, so I go into the Del Sol shop where everything changes color in the sun or UV light. Mm. And I went, I'm going to be clever and silly. And then she lost the ring.
Oh.
No.
But then I found it 6 months later at the place we'd moved to. So it's okay.
So I followed you from the ship to your new address.
Oh, no, no. She lost it at the house after we got back.
Okay. Oh, I thought she lost it on the ship and it still came back. It's like, then the cat came back.
The ring that I had, a ring specially made for her by a friend. It's like, she likes trees, so I had gnarled tree branches holding a jewel we picked up while we were in Alaska.
Where the hell is that? I don't see it on your finger.
It's a little too big now. It falls off.
There's a couple problems. I eat through metal.
Yeah, you know what? Renee does that too. She eats through especially silver. Yeah. You have a high pH in your skin or something?
I don't know what.
She has to put nail polish on her earrings so they don't make her ears irritate.
I screw up all metal. Like, the screw is about to poke out of my foot.
Explain why you have a screw in your foot.
I had elective surgery on both feet, and there's screws through both sides of my feet.
So good.
Except for when my feet start spitting them out, and eventually it'll just tear through the skin.
We need to do a seance together, and you can be my fox sister stand-in. For those of you at home who don't know what that means, the fox sisters were very popular in the spiritualism era, and one of the sisters could slap her toe would disjoint and go thunk, thunk on the floor, you know, and it would make this noise, and it sounds like it's coming from anywhere. Like, it's impossible to find out where it is.
She had a ventriloquist toe.
Yeah. She kind of did. It was a ventriloquist toe. And she could just make this weird noise, and they used it as a spirit rapper, and they would ask it, not like yo-yo rapper, but like they would ask it yes and no questions.
It just makes a series of pops.
Yeah. It beatboxes out of the bottom of her shoe. It's a very clean white shoe. It's the spirit Houdini.
But was she wearing those box toe shoes?
That's my beatboxing.
Yeah.
I'm very good at it. No, I'm not. What?
But was she wearing box toe shoes?
Yeah, that somehow accentuated the
if
sound.
If she was beatboxing, yes.
Yeah.
So, but it would, you could even touch the shoe. Because people would say, oh, you know, if it was if it was your feet, then we want to know. And they would put their feet on their feet. And there were all kinds of proofs. Because it almost sounded like it was coming through the walls, the way that they, I don't know if it was their house structure or whatever it was. But anyway, when it comes loose, and when your screw starts screwing around, let's do an act.
Well, I keep threatening that act is just going to be me drunk in the kitchen with the drill.
Oh, oh, ooh.
She's more man than most women.
I like girls whose balls have dropped.
Yeah, right.
They're my favorite kind.
I think mine dropped and rolled away.
You and me both, sister. You and me both. He was telling me this morning, he said, you are so unlike other chicks. And I said, oh, I know. Because there was like some girly nonsense going on in the house we were talking about. And I just said, boy, this is just so frustrating. I don't like women whose balls haven't dropped. It's exactly what I said. And he goes, you are so not like that. That is so not who you are. And I said, are you ever glad about it? He said, every day.
Oh, there are many days, and yes, last night was one of them, where I just either will say it out loud or think to myself, it's like, many times I've leaned over to Liz and I go, thank you for not being these people.
Yeah. Right?
Oh my God.
I was talking to Alan Burnett about that at lunch today. About
what?
We were reminiscing about some of the early days at Warner Brothers and like the first couple of years on Tiny Toons. There was an incident involving staffing, not among the writers, but among some of the staff that would plunge the workplace into what I call girly nonsense. Hateful rivalries between some of the female employees. Like, I hasten to say, this was not the norm at Warner Brothers or any place I've worked at, and there was a weird sort of attitude when we were getting up and running, but there was almost like this sitcom level of kind of girly nonsense among a few of the assistant type people.
I really...
That's the name of Penny's show,
yeah,
isn't
it?
It's really cute.
It is, yes.
I'm kind of going back through memory lane, thinking a lot about that time, you know, sort of doing research on it. And I asked Alan if he remembered a few certain incidents about a few of the female support team there who worked there. And
hey, Paul, do me a favor. I would like you to be more vague. I would really like that if you would please a little more vague.
There were a couple of secretaries there who were real witches. And I mean, like, just awful people. I mean, they weren't just awful women. They were just awful people. There was one who used to, I'd be sitting there writing, like a script. Mm-hmm. And she would come into my office, throw herself down on my chair with a copy of Bride's Magazine and go, Paul Dini, are you coming to my wedding? I was like, you getting married? And it's like, well, I don't know, this year or next year, maybe 3 years from now. But I'm hoping we can, you will come to the wedding. Which gown do you think I should wear? And it's like, hey, this is a workplace. You know, and I know there are cartoonists outside making really ugly drawings of each other. There's a guy on a skateboard. There's another one tipping over another guy's desk just for fun. But this is more offensive to me than coming in here and you know, doing this stuff. And actually, there was...
Did you ever put Bruce Timm's colored pencils in Jell-O?
No. Where did that come from?
Because you were talking about office gags.
No.
And I imagine Dwight. That you and Bruce Timm were the Dwight and Jim of Warner Brothers.
Well, okay. One thing, you can never pull a gag on Bruce Timm. You do it once, you sad person, because then he will get you. He will get you. If you ever tried to prank Bruce...
Is he one of those guys who escalates beyond the means of the prank?
No. But what will happen is, like, if you ever messed with him, the next day, or maybe an hour from that point, you would sit down at your desk and there would be a caricature of you drawn in such a way that would be like taking a Heidelberg fencing school wound, just like you've been gutted by a master. I've seen people reel away, like who've gotten caricatures from him, just sort of reel away in shock and crawl up and die somewhere. So you don't...
So Bruce Timm is a murderer. That's why you don't...
In defense. It's in defense. Like, you don't pick up a porcupine and, you know, roughhouse with it, you're going to get...
You don't pick up a porcupine. I totally pick up a porcupine.
My father... Hold on, I want to tell a story. My father tried to jump into a porcupine pen to grab a quill one time.
Oh, that's so dumb.
He learned that quick, and he hopped over. That thing just looked at him, started running out. He's like, whoop, back over. He's like, well, never mind that plan.
Yeah.
They'll shoot him at you.
Because apparently they're...
Inappropriate response.
Yeah, they're not nice.
No.
They're not nice at
can
all.
Can I say that word?
We'll bleep you out.
Oh, yeah. I didn't... Okay, well, if it's bleeping, I won't do it.
No, I mean...
No, we don't care.
I don't care.
It's okay.
Well, I care.
Why?
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, no, don't.
When cartoonists would engage in caricature wars, it was like...
I would never have thought in my life that's a thing.
It's a war. It's a thing. It's a thing where...
There's a next reality show.
Jesus. It's like the Wizard's Duel in Sword in the Stone, where they turn into different animals to destroy each other.
Sure, sure.
It's like a cartoonist duel is when they humiliate each other in illustrations to sort of dehumanize each other.
I figured that much out. Yes. Yeah. I just can't believe that it exists, but it sounds awesome.
Weren't you guys watching a Magician Wars show?
Yeah.
Well, when the early days of Tiny Toons, we had a great, you know, we had a couple of really great crews. We had these awesome cartoonists on it, and there were a bunch of guys who, within a year or two, wound up working on Ren and Stimpy, and they were really madmen, and they were just like devastating with their caricatures and everything. But I think Bruce was like pretty much top of the line, you know. It was like,
we've got a painting of you. We've talked about it on the podcast before, where you look like Gossamer.
Yeah, I do.
He's got these giant shoulders and he's like, is it in your office?
Yeah,
I think it is.
It's somewhere, but yeah.
Gossamer would be the big orange monster.
Yeah. But it's Paul, and instead of the big orange hair, it's Paul's shoulders hulking over. I'll bring it out. I'll show it to you guys. I think you have too.
Yeah, I think I have.
Okay, for my birthday one year, I came into my office and I looked at, you know, in front of my desk, and there was a big board of they'd taken a big piece of artboard. And Bruce had done a bunch of caricatures and glued them on there. And there were other caricatures by other artists.
Where the hell is that?
Well, I'll tell you. And they left it in, you know, so it was facing me, you know. So I came in and I saw it. And I go, oh, that's kind of nice. And I took it. And there was a wooden door there. And there was a glass partition, you know, like a glass wall there and then a regular wall. Mm-hmm. So you could actually kind of see into, you know, see people in their offices, see what they were doing. So I took it down and I put it so the caricatures were facing me, and I was enjoying looking at it, you know, because getting yourself caricatured, especially rudely caricatured, is sort of like a badge of honor. And then about a couple of days later, Bruce came in and said, why do you have I'm sort of surprised you have it displayed that way. And I go, why? I want to look at it. He goes, you never turned it around? And I never noticed what was out, which was facing the glass window. And I turned it around, and it was that Gossamer shot of me naked. And everybody was walking by looking at it. Because he had drawn this lovely portrait of me naked on the back.
That's really gross.
You didn't see it.
Where is it?
In storage somewhere.
We gotta bring it home.
I have a vault of the stuff in storage.
We gotta see this stuff.
Just display it in the front window.
We've been going through
Geraldo Rivera to go through his vault.
Yeah. We've been going through all this stuff in our house. We're going through this organizational process of going through old crap and getting rid of stuff. And
we did that when we moved.
Moving
really helped me. I narrowed all my magic stuff down. But since we didn't mention what I do, I'm a magician. And so
We need to tell these people who this wonderful man and woman are.
We need to give origin stories.
Yes, origin stories.
Origin stories. Okay.
What's your origin?
Rocketed to Earth from the dying planet Krypton.
Liz
is becoming the Unabomber.
Yes, she's writing a manifesto quietly. Mm-hmm. Oh, we got the raisin head. She put a hoodie on her head and she kind of cinched it shut. She doesn't want to tell us what her origin story is. I think I've forgotten.
My origin story is much like the Joker's. It's made up by different people.
There you go. Nice.
I had one guy who said, it's like, I picture you in a basement somewhere with a tinfoil lining of your fedora listening to nothing but Dead Kennedy mixtapes on loop.
That is right.
That's a great origin story.
Right, yeah. And I went, that's better than the thing I made up. All right, cool.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah.
So bizarre.
The long lost son of Jello Biafra. Yeah.
I'm actually very surprised how untattooed Jello Biafra is. He's like remarkably normal looking even still.
Yeah.
Have you met him?
Yeah.
I've seen him in movies and pictures and shit. Yeah. But I was very like, wow, you look oddly normal.
I used to see him all the time performing in North Beach back in like the early 80s and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I am very impressed that you know who any of the Dead Kennedys are.
What do you mean? I used to go out and, you know, like in San Francisco.
I used to do things.
Go to like... you know, clubs in San Francisco and stuff like that.
I'm stunned.
Oh, right.
Good for you.
I'm wearing the hat of no clue.
The hat of no clue?
The hat of no clue.
Or the hood of no clue. Or...
No, that one fell off.
The hat of no clue is invisible, see?
Oh.
Yeah, that's my cloaking device.
Oh.
It's awesome. But it engages itself.
Yours and Matt King's.
Right.
It's wonderful.
I'm wearing the pants of no return.
I'm just glad to
the pants of no return.
The pants of no return.
So Bizarro is a magician, and Liz is.
I'm an entertainer. Thank you very much.
That's right.
I'm an entertainer.
So I'm not going to raise my hand now.
You must.
I'm an entertainer.
Okay, we're good. He did. He just threw his hand kind of up in the air. But and Jimmy and I, Bizarro, do you want us to refer to you?
I don't care.
Okay, because it's interchangeable.
Just spell either. Just spell them both correctly. I'll be happy.
I don't know why I turned into Patrick from SpongeBob all of a sudden, but whatever.
I know who you turned into.
Yes, you do. But we're not going to say that, are we? No,
we're not. Because if we accidentally say it three times, it invokes.
No.
No.
The name that will not be said. It who will not be named. Here's the thing about Bizarro and I. We go back to even before Paul and I do. Mm. Like, we've been friends forever.
I don't even know how long. You were still in Detroit.
I was.
I don't
was
even
a
know how long ago it was.
A long time ago, yeah.
It was early 2000s.
At least.
I know that for sure.
Yeah, at least. Yeah.
Yep.
This is a long time we've been friends. The very first magician I ever met who I said, yeah, this is a person I could be friends with. Partially because you weren't doing card tricks around me all the time because you lived in Texas, and so we would only talk on the internet.
Yes.
Which was cool. But the other thing was because
that
you were the
only...
I
wasn't trying to hit on you.
Yeah, there was that too. Yeah. That was very valuable. Gosh, it's funny thinking back to, you know, like, because now that I'm married, I just feel like such a non-entity. You know, like, nobody hits on me. Well, I'm happily married. I'm not looking.
Everybody hits on you.
I'm not trolling, though. It's different.
Yeah, but the other day I was waiting for you outside the supermarket. And
inappropriate response.
Gave me his phone number at the checkout. He's like...
Should we bleep out that name?
Why?
I don't know. Maybe he's a listener.
Okay, well, Jesus. All right, anyway, yeah, you bleep out his name?
Okay.
Mowgli the Jungle Boy, how about that?
That is worse.
Indian, that's the only Indian I know.
Bleep all that out. This is why we don't do it live.
We'll just pretend.
You don't call Indian people Mowgli the Jungle Boy?
Why not?
Yeah, why not? Actually, I'm with Paul on this, why not?
Yeah.
He could have said something way worse. I've got three things
Mowgli
in my head.
The Jungle
head
Boy
worse
is a beloved
say.
Caricature from Indian fiction.
Yeah, let's move on to shit we can leave into the podcast. So anyway,
Actually, he's not. He was created by a British imperialist who was living in the United States when he wrote those stories.
Yeah.
So he's about as...
But didn't the British have... weren't they in India for a long time? Yeah,
yeah they were, but they weren't...
Yeah. Well, not a good way, no.
No, not a good way.
No.
Was the Jungle Book, did it take place in India?
Yeah.
Oh, I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah. What? Yeah. Of course. All the animals had Indian names. Baloo means bear in Indian. Bagheera means panther.
And the more you know.
Yeah. Mowgli means little frog, actually.
Oh.
Doesn't matter. I'm cutting this all out.
You can bleep it in. Hey, leave it in or just bleep parts.
You know what, Ezra? Just leave it in. I want the world to know how ignorant my husband is.
Or just cut it halfway through.
Or how ignorant I am not knowing that Jungle Book was in India.
Yeah, well.
No, just cut it halfway through. It's just a non sequitur.
Orangutan.
It's just flash this. What you need to do a voiceover. Inappropriate response. And then it just that. There just, we
go. And then we'll just cut to anchovies and pineapples.
And actually, that should be your bleep noise. Inappropriate response.
There we go.
That's awesome.
The English translation of orangutan is Louis Prima.
It'll be our new beep.
Inappropriate response.
That's going to be our new bleep sound. Yes. Okay. Yes, congratulations. You're our bleep.
Yay, you're immortal. Yeah.
It's bleep Zorro.
Now, I have to say that when I was working on the show Tower Prep, we had a wonderful writer on the show, Darren Morgan, who, with his brother Glenn Morgan, wrote a lot of the X-Files, and he's a tremendous producer and great writer. And every time, and you were visiting us a couple of times.
I never
we were
told
in production.
You about this.
Yeah, I think you did actually.
I mentioned your name a couple of times. Like, I have to get home early tonight. Bizarro's visiting, and Darren would wake up and go like, what? Bizarro's coming to your house? And it's like, Bizarro? And it's like, well, not the guy with his name written in stone and wearing the backwards Superman outfit, but he is a magician. And he goes, no, but I just think it's wonderful that someone named Bizarro is in your life and he comes to your house.
My mom, when all these magicians started calling my house, it's like uncanny and Bizarro. She's like, did you join some kind of weirdo biker gang? Who are these people? Scorpio. Like, it's just like.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it just sense. Sounded like we were like the Hell's Angels and.
And we told, and we're the exact opposite.
I know, right? Oh,
do we still have the Bizarro magnet on the fridge?
Yeah.
That was created for an episode of Seinfeld.
All right, then.
I did that.
You're fancy.
Okay, I just thought I'd explain.
All right. We all... You're fancy. So, should
for
we
the
let
Bizarro
our guests...
Jerry episode.
Okay.
All right, okay.
Are you done talking about yourself? Because I'd like to talk about Bizarro a little bit.
I've watched very little Seinfeld. How did you end up with the magnet?
What happened was they made it. My friend David Mandel said we're doing an episode where Jerry meets the Bizarro version of himself. So can you get us like a Bizarro model sheet? We're doing Superman at that time. Huh. And we'll make it into a magnet and we'll put it on the show. Because when Jerry Seinfeld has a Superman magnet on his fridge... So it will be fun when we go to Kevin, the Bizarro Jerry. He's got a Bizarro magnet on his fridge.
Yeah.
So what happened was I brought over the model sheet and their props department made it into a magnet. But they made a couple of them and they showed them to Jerry, like, which one do you want? So there was our Bizarro. And I think he chose a Kurt Swan one of Bizarro and Bizarro Lois because Jerry's like a bigger fan of the Kurt Swan one. Huge Kurt Swan fan. So I think that's the one that actually made it on screen. But they gave me the one that they made and said, here,
cool.
You can take this home with you. So that was my lovely prize from Seinfeld.
But our Bizarro spells it differently.
That's true.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
Our Bizarro spells it the right way.
Are you checking that on your phone to make sure? What are you doing?
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't spell Bizarro improperly. It's Bizarro.
He spells it with two Z's.
Yeah, according to the rest of the world, he spells it
completely wrong.
Yeah. I like that you spell it different because then it makes it yours.
Well, true. Yeah. No, I have seen some miraculous misspellings of my name. Even if I had spelled it correctly, people would have screwed it up.
B-I-Z-Z-A-R-E.
Oh, no. B-A-R-R-Z-Z-A-R-R. It's something. I mean, they were like Barzaro. I'm like, what is wrong with you?
Barzaro.
My favorite person was still the one who called you Gazebo.
Yeah. So I was working. I worked at a bar in Dallas and I'm setting up. Before the place opens, and the bartender, who knows my name, we've hung out, he's like, hey, Gazebo. And I went, what? Which is my arch nemesis. Yes. That's my Bizarro version of myself, Gazebo.
An evil outdoor sitting area.
He wears a top hat and tails, produces doves, you know.
So, is he the actual one who penned Helter Shelter?
No. Yeah, my friend, the Shocker, who we were talking about earlier, his no, nemesis.
We weren't talking about him.
Oh, well.
Because these are new people that we're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Gazebo and his evil henchman, Patio. Come, Patio, we must scheme against Bizarro.
Yes, master.
Yep.
And the beautiful park bench.
Always in trouble. Yes.
Femme fatale.
Yeah.
Parked bench.
Park bench.
Park bench.
Yes.
It's a good name.
Mm-hmm. She's always pining after him.
Oh.
Just looked at me like I was on fire. Hey,
Misty, one day did she varnish?
You're going to edit all this out too, right?
No, he's going to leave me.
I'm adding funny sound effects.
Boing, boing, boing. Yeah, great.
Just keep putting it in.
Man.
No, the reason I brought up the Shocker thing is because as a magician, you'll find this funny. He said if he ever had an arch nemesis, it would be Professor Nightmare. Okay, well, that fell flat. Well, Thanks for that.
I get it, but it's terrible.
No, yeah, I know. It's fun. Yeah, okay. Well,
Professor Nightmare? I don't get it.
Because you're not a magician.
Yeah.
Go ahead. No, Professor's Nightmare is a rope trick where a magician comes out, and you've all seen this.
You just don't know the name of it.
With three of the same length of pieces of rope,
uh-huh.
And those three ropes change length.
Oh.
He produces, they're all
actually,
the same
Actually, they start
length.
Out unequal.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
the
yeah.
Equal,
they
unequal start ropes equal. Trick that equal. I'm sure you've seen 100 times at the castle, and you went, oh, not this again.
Yeah.
I'm with Misty on this one. Not funny.
Well, it's funny to me.
You know what? Anytime there's a joke with a color-changing plume or ropes or silks, I can't.
Who's your arch nemesis?
You.
Besides me, I mean, who's your supervillains? Who's
in
your
rogues
gallery?
You know who my supervillain is. You know who my rogues gallery is.
Yeah. Okay.
And you know who mine is, Nosferatu.
Okay.
I got two. There would have been that Komodo dragon that tried to kill me, and its litter mate, Kathy Griffin.
Komodo dragon and Kathy Griffin.
Yeah,
they're from the same litter.
Spun from the same clutch of eggs.
Interesting.
Yeah. Is that what it is? A clutch?
Clutch of eggs? Yeah.
Yeah, a clutch of eggs.
True.
Is it a clutch of eggs no matter what animal made the eggs? Laid the eggs?
I think it's reptiles.
I think it's reptiles. Yeah.
How do you know that?
I like reptiles.
This is an educational podcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're learning Indian words. We're talking about clutches of eggs.
Whenever I would do any kind of research papers in school, it was either snakes, cats, or lycanthropy. That was my three things I'd report on.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the werewolf cat snake story will be coming out in the fall.
Sure.
Awesome.
That was a lot more normal than my school projects.
Yeah. What were yours?
Black Death and the Packer family.
Let's talk about the teacups.
What is wrong with my teacups? No, you started it. I want to know what's wrong with my teacups.
I can't wait till you find that one. What's right with your teacups,
woman?
Everything is right with my teacups.
On them.
What teacups?
Right? That's what I wish I could say. Once you see them, she's got pictures. You can't unsee them. Is any of this even English anymore? Or are we just kind of speaking a second crazy moon language?
I'm deciphering through the Babelfish. We should be fine.
Ah, yes, the Babelfish.
I was on the verge of failing biology one semester, and I was headed for a solid F.
Ooh.
And I got out of it by writing a paper on carnivorous marsupials.
Huh. Okay.
She's got a picture coming.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this isn't what they... No, what she's about to show you...
It's terrifying.
No. This is what they look like after she's done with them. This isn't what they start out as.
They're scarier when she starts.
No, they are scarier when she starts, but that's what they look like now.
Oh, those are great!
Yeah.
See?
But...
I drink tea out of that.
You know what?
But, honey, you need to find a picture of what they... you need a picture of what they start out as so really see. We've got teacups that have octopuses
and otters in them.
Baileys.
I'll look at it.
Octopuses and otters?
Yeah, Eddie Gardetsky for Christmas about 2 years ago, he and his wife Coco gave us these great teacups. You drink down the tea and there's like a sculpted animal in the bottom.
The funny story, I was just thinking about that. When I was younger, my grandmother had one of those. It was a teddy bear. And I think there was a turtle as well.
Okay.
It was a coffee mug kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay. So when my grandmother, who just passed away when I was in Texas, actually. People die. And so it's true. They do.
It is true.
Yeah.
I was far more upset.
Yeah,
about
Liz
that.
Was way more freaked out than I was. I'm like, well, she did have cancer and was old, so I mean, I'm not happy about it, but it's like, well, it doesn't matter.
Anyway, yeah, I understand.
So my everybody else in the family, she was like, is there anything of ours you want? Because we're not going to need it, obviously, soon, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, I want the mug with the teddy bear in the bottom of it.
Oh, nice.
And that's it. She couldn't find it. That's all I wanted. And she kept saying, are you sure there's nothing else you want? Any books? The shop, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, I want the mug.
Oh, did you get it?
No. I think it either got broken or just she lost it. I don't know. So, yeah.
But maybe she
I know exactly what you're talking about. My point is,
yeah.
Yes, I remember those. I used to drink milk and it was like, oh, there's a head of a bear. I was eight. What yeah. you want? I yeah. still do that now, mind you. I mean, it's
yeah,
only, it
I will
change,
give you the octopus mug. You can have that.
No,
well, I mean, to drink out of. You ain't taking it home.
No.
Well, you got plenty of them weird
yeah, we have an octopus and an otter, no. and then he gave us a lemonade dispenser in the lovely shape of a baboon.
Nice.
They did.
Yeah.
You know, I got when my grandmother passed away, I only wanted one thing in her whole house because I used to give her such grief about it because in her living room, she had a bust of the Pope. And I said, why is this here? And she was like, I mean, she was a very devout Catholic, and she was like, because I want it there. And I was like, why do you want this here? And it was right next to that old lady dish of blue hard candy that's all
that
stuck
you picked
together.
Up one, they all came out with
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it was either blue or butterscotch. That was all you got.
Yeah.
You know, it was either that. And every once in a while, they'd have the spinny mints, but it was highly unlikely. Because people are like, oh, old people with spinny mints, this place is cool. They're hip.
Yeah.
But anyway, when she passed away, my mom was like, do you want her jewelry? No. Do you want any furniture? Absolutely not. What do you want? I said, I want the Pope. And my mom said, okay. And what else would you like? I said, I'm done. And she was like, Miss, I got a house full of stuff to go through. I said, all I want's a Pope. And she was like, okay, and it's here. It's over on that shelf over there. You can't see it from where y'all are, so I'm being rude, but it's on the shelf. I'll show you guys after.
Nice.
Yeah, so my story is, I got mine.
Yeah, I got mine too.
Not a very good hostess at all.
Well, thank you, Misty, for that.
You're welcome.
Usually we're not discussing grandmothers with that phrase.
Oh, hey.
Well, my mom moved
inappropriate
last year,
response.
Inappropriate response.
Now, my mom's healthy and well, and when she moved last year, she broke up all her stuff and just gave it to the kids who wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
Said, who wants this print? Who wants this painting?
Mm-hmm.
And because she moved from a large house to a smaller one, and she just doesn't have the room for it or the inclination, so... When we give her a gift, we make sure that it's something she can use or like a coupon where she can go out and enjoy herself or
right.
Or
well, that's exactly.
Like that.
That's yeah. the way I feel. It's like, I don't need... I'm sick of getting material stuff. Give me something I can use to make props or something that is amusing. Like this year for Christmas, I gave Liz thermite.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Which is an explosive substance.
No. It's incendiary.
Okay, so it only lights fire, it doesn't blow up.
Right. It burns at about 4,000 degrees, 3 times hotter than lava.
Wow.
It's
and
awesome.
It's mine.
Yes. We were going to use...
And it's not illegal?
No, you can buy it legally. Now, what you do with it is what
becomes
illegal.
Yeah, that was what I was
going
to ask you, is what do you do with it other than eat through car engines because you can?
Right, well, it actually has practical uses, but for the life of me, I couldn't tell you any of them.
We're not really practical people.
Yeah,
you just wanted it because you just
well,
wanted
I knew
to
she would never
home.
Suspect I was going to give her thermite. I knew that would be the one thing that she would... I mean, not the one thing, but the one practical thing that she'd be like, no, I had no idea. I didn't see that coming.
All right, so are you like...
I almost just made a bad termite joke. I'm just going to leave it at that and not make it. So
are you like cartoon humans and Looney Tunes who just happen to have crates of dynamite in your house for your cat to pick up and blow a hole in the wall with?
Kind of. I mean, I have sticks of... dynamite my magic closet that do magic tricks. She's
the
got
best
thermite.
Card.
Awesome.
What do you
I've
think
got
that's
a fake...
awesome? We have, look it down on the bottom shelf.
Oh,
what
yeah.
do you see?
I've got a fake cartoon bomb that looks
sticks
like it's always lit.
Yeah, yeah.
You have a what?
I have a black, one of the black spherical bombs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there's a proper name for those, but it's a old school cartoon
mm-hmm.
bomb that I made with electronics. It looks like it's always lit. It looks like it's sparking.
That's
like
fun.
It's
yeah.
done with LEDs and fiber optics.
That's cool.
Yeah.
You know, when I work at Jaren Sound, he's got a little stuffed version of one of those bombs,
mm-hmm.
and you throw it on the floor, and it goes...
Inappropriate response.
And it says... it says F-bomb on it.
Nice.
And
funny.
So every once in a while, if he has to restart his computer, I'll hear him throw it on the floor, and it goes... Wah. It's
yeah.
very funny. I forgot... I'm going to look it up on Amazon, because I was thinking about that, and I thought, I want to own that.
That's very
yeah,
funny.
Yeah, we have a terribly safe dining room. There's a whole corner that's just like...
Incendiaries.
Well, yeah, because there's
the
fire-eating
corner.
Fluid, there's the fire-breathing fluid, we've got thermite, we have a firework grenade, a fake bomb.
Yeah, if a fire starts in our apartment, it's going to be there. And if it doesn't start there, I'm going to be really confused.
You're going to try to prevent it from getting
yes,
there.
Yes, that's, yeah, absolutely.
Very, very cool.
I'm giving Tom and Jerry your address and sending them over there.
Tom, our extinguisher.
Thomas, yeah, what's a nice African-American lady, middle-aged, nice housekeeper doing like that with dynamite in her house.
Well, you know, yeah, she'd be labeled a terrorist nowadays.
I guess so. Or maybe just cautious. You never know, you know.
Maybe she was actually a lumberjack.
She was big enough to be a lumberjack.
Yeah, right? Jesus. Yeah, yeah. We were just talking about that the other day, about all the old great, like, Warner Brothers and Tom and Jerry cartoons that you don't see no more because of certain sensitivities.
Yeah. I saw one the other day that I had not... I had watched the cartoon many times before, but I had not seen this clip of it. And then I saw with the clip, and I'm going like, oh, that's why there's that weird jump cut in every version of this I've ever seen.
Is it and the one with Daffy Duck and blackface?
No, it was a Tom and Jerry one, and it was on the site of this writer named Thad, who I just worked. He just had a book come out on the history of Ren and Stimpy. It's a very good book called Sick Little Monkeys, and I did an interview with him. It's on a site called What About Thad, and he posted this full clip of this cartoon called Mouse Cleaning. Okay. And there's a scene where its standard setup is Mammy Two Shoes, excuse me, but that was her name, has just cleaned up the house.
Well, I didn't know her name. That's good to know.
Yeah,
Mammy Two Shoes.
Mammy Two Shoes.
Instead that's of like all, Goody that's all you knew about her.
And yeah. She was called Tom Jasper.
In the first one, yeah, she did. But in this one, she's just cleaned the house. Tom's just wrecked the house, and she makes him clean it again and says, if the inside of the house gets dirty, out you go, that sort of thing. And what happens is Jerry is doing everything he can to mess the house up.
Is that the one where it blows up at the end and he comes out of the bricks?
No, that's a different one. That's the exploding mouse one. But this one is one where she's coming home. Tom's got the house clean. They're delivering coal to the basement.
Right.
And Jerry rigs the coal shaft. So it comes in the living room. It sweeps Tom through the door, piles over Mammy, and she's outraged. Mm-hmm. Tom's head pops. This is the part you won't see on TV. Tom's head pops out of the coal.
Right.
You can imagine what he looks like.
Yeah.
And she reacts to him as if not like a cat, but sort of like, hey, you. Have you seen a cat around
here? No, I know this one. He said, no, ma'am, I see no cat.
And
no
he walks way, off doing no the step and fetch.
I saw that as a kid.
And he's talking, you know, he's actually talking quite a while in that dialect. And then, you know.
Who did that voice?
What?
Who did his voice?
I imagine Bill or Joe. Bill or Joe or whoever was around. I think it was usually Bill who did the voice. Okay. Although they may have switched off. And
because he's kind of about halfway down, she realizes.
And halfway down, he's still like a gray cat,
right?
And
then, or blue, whatever.
Yeah, and then she just screams at him and takes off.
Yeah,
and she takes one piece of coal and just lobs him at him
and hits him in a distance,
and kills him dead on the spot.
I remember watching that as a kid, and I thought it was funny and didn't see anything offensive about it.
Yeah,
I mean, I have no problems there.
Yeah, well,
I turned out okay. Screw you, FCC, insensitive people.
Yeah, really. I mean, you know, it's like. All right, let's look at that. You know, in the last 30 years, you can't have guns on TV. Oh, it's bad. Oh, you can't. Oh, Elmer Fudd's got to shoot gumdrops or
somebody actually said guns. That?
I was
gumdrops? Is that true?
Well, no.
I was just because, you know.
That was actually in a song about Yosemite Sam from the 50s, but, you know, when they kind of softened it a little bit for records. But, you know, he was always showing with six guns and Elmer and everything like that.
Well, they'd always show him shooting them. I mean, they were always shooting at each other and stuff. But, I mean, it was a cartoon.
It was a cartoon. And I think that, I don't know, everything.
But, okay, to be fair, though, back then, kids could bounce. You know, we kids, I mean, that's my playgrounds were blacktop.
Yeah.
I had gravel in my knee and I was okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
Until they had to cut it out. Then it
well, hurt. Whatever.
I had a Stingray Schwinn with a banana scoop seat, and I never, to wear a helmet with that thing? Are you insane? Am I stupid? A stupid kid would fall off the bike. I'm not stupid.
But I think just what's with doing all the stuff they've been doing, with trying to, pad the world, trying to protect the world, whatever, it's making kids less resilient and stupider.
Yeah, I think so.
Honestly, it's like, let's dumb everything down and make everything safe. So are you trying to open that really silently so nobody can hear
it? Didn't work.
I know, that's why I'm pointing
out. Did you wash the can off? I hope so, because they're on the back porch and,
No, I like
covered in
dirty.
Rat pee.
Every day I get home from school, we had a creek near our house. It was actually fenced off. It was water treatment property, but we lived in kind of a rural area, and we would go down there. We'd mess around at the creek. And it's like, and I'd say, my mom would say, where are you going? I go to the creek, and she goes, okay, stay away from the hobos. It's like, all right. They live under the bridge. But there were hobos that lived under the bridge, yeah. like friendly trolls. And we'd go down there. And
did any of them ever have a bindle on a stick? Anyone ever do that?
No, these were kind of like hobos 2.0. This was like 1969-70. So these were like the washouts of the Summer of Love that had moved over from Berkeley in San Francisco and had taken refuge under our bridge.
I grew up with a creek like within probably not even a quarter of a mile from our land and stuff.
Yeah.
And we used to go. I'd go off into the woods, wander around. My mother's voice carries, so if she would yell, I'd eventually come back. But it's. You know, I mean, I probably shouldn't have gone off by myself into the woods as much as I did, but hey, I learned valuable skills, like how to get through woods.
Yeah.
How is it you grew up in the woods, but you can't even navigate your way back to the car?
There's no trees, that's why. You know how hard it is to mark a car? They move.
I don't know, you did a good job with Dino's car last night.
I didn't do anything to Dino's car last night. What are you talking about?
Looked like you were trying to mark it.
No, I don't remember.
Did you pee on somebody's car?
I don't know what she's talking about. All right,
well, you better not be peeing on people's cars.
No, I only...
That old man dementia setting in.
Apparently.
I was working at the dental office once, and I walked into the back room, and Dr. Valise, one of the doctors I was working for, I was looking out the window, and he's going, and I said, "What's so funny, Robert?" And he goes, "Hey, you know Terry's brand new car?" And I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "Look, a hobo's peeing on it." And he's just sitting there watching the guy pee all down the side of Terry's brand new white car. He's just laughing, and he was just sitting there. He didn't tell anybody. He was just enjoying it.
That's the kind of thing you really just have. You really, there's nothing you can do about it.
Well, I mean, you could run out and go, "Hey, you hobo, stop peeing on Terry's car."
Would you?
Yes, I probably would.
Probably.
No, I might sit there and go, "Look at that hobo peeing on Terry's car."
It depends on how much of a jackass the other person is, I suppose.
Yeah.
Well, I don't. You know, when I was a kid, hobos, hippies,
all the same thing.
Hell's Angels were all hobos, hippies. You know, they were all like. Friendly to mildly threatening beings that were in my consciousness.
Right now, they're all just incredibly threatening beings.
Yeah, but I remember one time I was in high school. I went to a boarding school, and I was camping with some kids down in Big Sur, and we were dropped off there by the school bus. We got permission to go down and go camping, and the other guys, I'm with like four other guys, and they're giving me shit. You know, it's like late. It's getting dark, and everybody's razzing everybody like you know teenage boys do. And I'm, you know, about 15, 16 at the time. And I say to the guys...
So a couple of years ago, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, "Guys, shut up. I'm sick of you guys. I'm gonna go back to school." They go, "Meh. Oh, well, you don't have a car. You're not going to go back to school." I said, "Hell, I'm not. I'm, you know, give me more shit and I'll just hitchhike my way home." They go, "Oh, fuck you, Dean. You're not going to do that. Blah, 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 blah." And I said, "Okay, bye." And I walked off and I hiked down through the, off the hill where we were. Got down to the main road, and I just sat there in the darkness with my thumb out like this. I waited maybe 10 minutes, and this van pulls up with peace signs all over it. Door slides open, and then inside is this guy who looked like Floyd from The Muppet Show.
Nice.
He's like, "Hey, what's up, kid? You need a ride?" And it's like, "Yeah, I need. Yeah, thank you very much. Get in." And it's like, he could be a killer, but it's better than the assholes.
But back then, not as likely as it is nowadays, I would say.
You know, those guys back in the camp are real assholes, and I don't want to give them the satisfaction. So right. I'll ride with this
I'd
guy.
Rather be killed than give those a-holes the satisfaction.
Yeah, and we're riding, and he's like, and, you know, and he had a joint going. I didn't have any, but it's like, you know, it's like, "So you're out by yourself?" And it's like, you know, I was hiking, these guys were assholes. "Oh, well, you'll get even with them. Do you mind if I just drop you in town?" And it's like, no, that's as far as I'm going. So he dropped me in Carmel about 20 minutes later, and I walked the rest of the way home. And the next day they came in, and they beat me up. And I said, "We were worried about you. We had to we called all over looking for you." And it's like, well, I told like, you I'd
I
do
told
it.
You I was going to do it.
I told you I did it. I was going to do it.
How'd you get into magic?
Inappropriate response.
Well, he was talking about getting beaten up, and I thought that'd be a good segue.
I never got beat up for doing magic. Actually, it probably is one thing that kept me from getting beat up in redneck Texas.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So Jimmy grew up in Texas. Did you grow up in Texas, too?
No.
Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Colorado Springs.
Colorado
Speaking Springs. Of hippies.
Oh, wow.
At first, I thought you said cholera, and I was like, that is not, no.
No, that went through there, too. I grew up in a house that was built, like, 120 years ago, and
that's cool.
Old part of Old Colorado Springs.
Wow. So it used to be a brothel, apparently.
Yeah, I grew up in an old whorehouse. My closet had an opening that would escape out to the stairs so people could get out. Found all sorts of weird stuff in the walls, but just weird.
What kinds of weird stuff?
Wandering old man. Sadie, are you in here?
Newspaper.
I got my three books.
A syringe. Just weird stuff. Nothing as weird as the back wall, because the man who built the back retaining wall didn't want to pay for materials to actually make it safe. So he just threw random crap in there, like bowling balls and bicycles and pieces of fence. Just random crap. I think that was the same guy who ran over his wife twice.
A real do-it-yourselfer.
He meant it.
Oh, yeah. He meant it. Mm-hmm.
No. It wasn't like, dude, what was that? I should back up and see. Dude, oh, yeah. No!
That's why wasn't like that. About ghosts.
It was like, I'm not sure. I'm going to back up and make sure.
Pretty much. He went over forward and then backward.
Well, he meant it. Mm. There ain't no convincing a jury he didn't.
That's
he ran into my knife. He ran into my knife 10 times.
Yeah.
You once said something that was very funny to me, Misty, and I relate this, and I want to work it into a joke one day. And this is kind of a dour subject, but I want to say it anyway. I was talking to you on the phone one day. I said, how you doing? I said, oh, I'm all right. I had a friend kill themselves. And you stopped and went, well, I mean, I didn't ask him to do it.
I did.
Yeah, I thought that is so funny. That's such a great line. I had a friend kill themselves. Wow, that's terrible. Yeah, I don't know how I convinced them, but man, they did it. Yeah. And it's like, that's just a really funny line. I was like, wow.
Probably Amber.
Sorry, I just, the killing people, I just popped in my
head. Yeah, you know what we're talking about? Death, making light of death. I can't imagine anything more appropriate. You guys came and saw my seance last night, so thanks for that.
It's true. It was fun.
Yeah, it was great.
It was, the animations are far more involved than I anticipated.
Yeah.
You mean
the magical ghosts that come and
the animation, the ghost animated things. That's what I meant.
Mm-hmm. It's like Haunted Mansion up in there.
Yeah,
they're doing all kinds of crazy stuff.
Hoobajoo coming out of the wall.
Hoobajoo coming up out of the floor.
Yeah, I realized when I started talking about that what's his name? You may not want me to say that in front of.
Call him Hoobajoo with him standing there.
I didn't know.
You know what? Here's the thing, Jimmy. You've known me for an awful long time. I am the same person across the board. It don't matter if I'm talking to you or somebody else. What I think, I say. For better or for worse, ask him. He's like, mostly for worse. But, okay, so. How did you get into magic?
I'm going to keep deflecting. No.
I know.
No. A typical story. I was young and needed the money. No. I was an only child in the middle of nowhere. My parents got me this like magic kit. Like three of my good friends back we used to do magic together in Texas all had this same kit. It was a Fisher Price thing. It was like a big square box, trunk, whatever. I don't know why I just did air quotes because nobody could see it. But,
I can.
Yeah, I know, but whatever.
Yeah, the, I know. I'm shaming you because we're watching. Don't know what I'm talking about.
And so it had colorful doors across the top, and it was, and you could move the floors from behind so things would move.
I remember that.
Right. So it was only made for about 3 years. Fisher-Price made a whole magic series with all like really nicely made props, very well done and everything. So,
but they were made for little kids' fingers.
Well, yeah, they were made for kids.
But they were good unusual tricks. They weren't the kind of typical stuff. It wasn't like the ball vase.
There was a ball vase, but it was like an egg, and it, like the top was like a dove, like in this weird position. Mm-hmm. And it was really.
I bought one at a garage sale, and it had half of the pieces in it. I wonder where that went.
Anyway. One of the things they had that I never did. Now, here's Fisher Price was smart about this because they had this thing where you could turn like milk to Reese's Pieces. But what they did was they gave you a cylinder printout to stick in there in case you just didn't. Your parents wouldn't give you Reese's Pieces, so you could still say, "Look, Reese's Pieces." You just couldn't pour them out because it was a printed cardboard tube. I mean, they even for milk, they even give you a plastic sleeve so you could pretend. I mean, they really thought this through, and it was a really good kit at the time. So I just started doing magic around 6, and then around 13, I said I want to do this for a living and make money, and then that didn't happen until about 4 years ago. So.
Well, it's a story of persistence, ladies and gentlemen.
I always, in my lectures and my creativity and stuff, I always tell people, it's like, look, the only people who really fail are the ones who give up, just in general, but in magic especially, because, you know, no matter how many times I've gotten depressed and wanted to quit, I just said, well, I got to keep going. I already invested way too much time and money in this.
It's almost like that graphic that it pops up on Facebook every once in a while, and it's like the path to success, and it's like the perceived path to success, and they've got point A, point B, and an arrow rising upward, and it says what it really looks like, and it's got point A and the squiggle, like, all over the place, and then it, like, comes out at point B.
Well, you know... good example is Liz. Her degree.
She's a good example of a lot of things.
I succeeded at something.
Sure, her degree is in criminal something or other.
Criminal something or other.
I can never say it right.
At what university do they award that one?
I have just decided to say it like that because every time I say it, she corrects me. So I'm just like, you know what?
Criminal justice.
Oh, okay.
I have a bachelor's of science in criminal justice with certifications in criminalistics.
Neat.
See, that I can't remember that, so I just said
and what now I glue golf tees together and carve out foam dicks.
Right.
And make teacups that scare you.
So, but you trained to be Batgirl.
She's Oracle.
Well, yeah, basically.
She's got pins in her foot. Put her in a wheelchair and give her a giant computer.
No, I'm not getting back in the wheelchair.
I don't want you in the wheelchair. No. It's
neither
just
is Batgirl.
Have
you been reading the book? She's out of the wheelchair.
And have I been reading the book?
Me.
No, I have
that
not.
That makes me so mad.
What, that she's no longer in the wheelchair?
Yeah, I think you and I have talked about this briefly before, because I'm just very mad about her. It's like they just took all the good she did and swept under the rug. It's like, what happened to all those people? Aren't they dead now that she helped? What's that about? You just totally screwed up everything.
New 52.
Oh, don't even...
Don't me ask questions.
Let's move on.
Right,
let's
New 52. We don't care sad. What you think. So anyway, going back to magic.
Yeah, yeah, no, let's go back to you.
And sad.
Yes.
And scene.
And, but you know, I mean, yeah, no, and then like I said, I wanted to be professional at 13, and so here I am, living in Vegas and doing magic for people.
Awesome. And not only are you doing magic for people.
Yes.
Because some of the greatest names in, especially educational and lecturing magic, and also performing magic, Jeff McBride loves your stuff, because you've been inventing this for so long. It just became part of your zeitgeist. And that's one of the reasons why you and I became such fast friends, because we're both pretty irreverent. I mean, I'm sure that everyone who knows us is pretty shocked to hear me say it, but especially when it comes to traditional magic. I mean, we're always sending pictures back and forth that we'll never talk about on the air.
SpongeBob goatee.
Yeah, well, there's that, yes. Yeah. I, for those of you who don't know what he's talking about, I'm going to let you in because I'm an awful person. And if you don't know that by now, I, for years, have been terrorizing my mother with the goatee image.
And if you don't know what that is, hold on. I'm not going to explain it. Hold on. I'm just going to tell you this. Go to Google, turn off safe image search, and type goatsee, the word goat, S-E. Now, I'm not saying you should do this, but if you want to do it, that's how you do it.
And I will tell you what it is before you do that.
Don't.
It is a, just let me tell them to warn them what they're going to be looking at. It's essentially a guy with both of his hands in his rectum, spreading it wide open and smiling from the wrong end. So that's
he showed
what
it him
is.
His O-face.
He's like, ladies and gentlemen, my intestines.
Inappropriate response.
Did I just get played off my own podcast?
Yes.
Yeah, kind of.
So anyway, that's what it is. Anyway.
Inappropriate response.
Inappropriate response.
So,
which is the title of this episode.
I was just going to call it multi-offensive. So I've been terrorizing my mother with this image for years because it bogues her out as it bogues out everybody who sees it because it's gross.
She's not desensitized to it yet.
Yeah, she doesn't. She never really cared about it to begin with. It was just one of those things where she was like, oh, geez, why? Why? You know, it was just that.
Is that how and your mom sounds?
Yeah. Haven't you ever talked to her on the phone? She almost sounds like Princess Magic. Stan, I swear to God. Stanley. Where do you think I get asshole? It's my mother. That's how she's where Princess Magic came from.
The only time I remember hearing her voice was when I'd say, is Misty there? Yeah, hold on. That's the only phrase I've ever heard your mom say, really.
Oh, yeah. So anyway, I've been terrorizing her, and she got wise to it eventually, and she wouldn't open. She knew the name
anything,
of the file.
Period.
Yeah, and she was just like, no pictures. She would be like, I'm not opening this. Send a thumbnail. And so I got smart, and I started sending pictures of my nieces and nephews with goatsey in the corner. Or I would be out in public and take pictures, like when I was visiting my grandma, and take a picture of my grandma, put goatsey on her shoulder. Oh, and no. So it's just horrible. I was like, hey, we made some cookies and one of them were goatsy. And so Jimmy and I started sending her. He was like, oh, here's some cookies you could actually make at home. You sent
me
those.
Yes, they were goatsy cookies.
Yep.
Yes.
And then he made her a goatsy SpongeBob picture.
Oh, no, this was well before the cookies. I mean,
oh, it was?
I didn't make it for her. I just made it because we thought it was funny.
Oh, it's hilarious.
For that.
Yeah, you were.
Yeah.
That was really early on.
Yeah.
What an impression.
All
we
the
make.
Crazy shit that I've put this woman through that she stayed with me is a testament to her patience.
I think it's more than patience. patients, I think it's that she's sick like us. Welcome,
there's
Liz.
No,
well, considering
the very little
I know about her past, I think she's definitely traded up.
Well, you guys are really good together. I love you both. But Jimmy and I have been causing trouble together for an awful long time.
I remember when you told me you were ladies, like, I'm going to date with this guy. And I'm like, whoa, back the fuck up. Hold on a second. You went out, the guy who created Harley Quinn, right? That Paul Dini?
And I was like, did he? I didn't even know.
I was like, no shit. How did that happen? That was crazy.
Your turn.
You all know the story, and so do they. We've told it a million times.
But
Jimmy and I are both very irreverent, both in magic and in life in general. But I was just telling him, actually, because on Tuesday we did a show at the high school, not Jimmy and I, but a bunch of other magicians, Derek Hughes, Jonathan Pendragon, who's been on here, Funny Eddie, Jimmy H. There's a bunch of us. Dale Heineman. I'm trying to remember. That's five. And then I was six. London, the junior up the street that my neighbor that you guys have talked to before.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember who the other ones were. It's horrible. Anyway.
Mandrake, Gandalf, Dumbledore.
Yes.
And you were there?
And Zatara.
Yeah.
And, but anyway, the only trick I did, because
Mumford,
I was... Yeah.
The wizard.
Oh, Mumford. Oh, yeah. Madam Mim. So,
I love peanut butter sandwiches.
I haven't seen that in
when
forever.
I was, when amazing I was, Mumford. When I was younger, I thought he was saying, I love peanut butter. When I didn't realize
me too.
It was Allah. I was like, yeah, me too.
Yeah, that's not magic. That's just common knowledge. Everybody knows peanut butter sandwiches, unless you're, you know, peanut butter intolerant or something like that.
Peanut allergy. Peanut allergy.
Yeah. I guess.
But you've never heard. I've never heard of jelly intolerance. So
yeah. No.
So the only trick that I performed on Tuesday was Bizarro's. He's got a trick out called Non-Toxic.
And you thought you stole something from me?
Your presentation.
Turns out you did your own thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't pay attention.
You stole from yourself.
Well, no, what happened was he has a presentation. I was watching. Bizarro has a lecture on penguin magic right now, and it's brilliant. It's
penguin
wonderful.
Magic?
Yes.
Is that magic with penguins?
My lecture, there was a penguin in my lecture, yes.
Yes.
Because turning people into penguins would be pretty cool.
Yes.
No pun intended.
And profitable.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, the great interrupto.
I don't know. I'm just throwing out ideas.
What I do, leave me alone.
So we're sitting at the kitchen table one day, and I'm talking to my friend Renee, and Paul is just drifted off. And she says, Paul, are you okay? And he goes, yes, I'm just waiting for the topic to turn back into something I'm interested in. And she was like, oh my God. And I said, honesty, it's what we do around here.
Yeah, I actually prefer that myself. It's like, you know, let me know if you're, you know, uninterested, then I will shut the fuck up.
Oh, he does.
What can I say? I'm a barrel of monkeys.
Yep. Hat full of assholes. So, anyway.
I'll come to your house if you want.
Go live there. So, but anyway, he's an inventor and he's got lectures up on penguin magic. And do you have a storefront where they can buy your original effects for people who are interested?
Bizarromatic.com.
How do you spell it?
Two Z's, one R. BIZZARO-matic. Bizarromatic.com.
Okay.
Or just go to my website, which is smapdoodah.com, or... For those of you who I don't want to spell that for, opticalillusionist.com. There's a link to the store there, too.
Opticalillusionist.com,
yeah.
Yeah, .com. And he's a great inventor, and he's been doing this stuff since I met him years and years and years ago. And now other magicians are going, oh, hey, that's cool. We've been doing the same stuff.
That comes from moving to Vegas, just being out and getting into the scene of getting seen by people who aren't birthday party magicians.
Yeah, well, you were really frustrated in Texas. You were really angry.
So there's a big magic community in Vegas, like social as well as professional.
You know, Siegfried and Roy, and there's a couple people doing a little bit.
Penn and Teller guys like that. But is it as social as it is?
Oh,
professional?
I didn't understand what you were asking.
I mean, you guys like hang out?
And... Yes. I mean, there's plenty of opportunity to hang out, but there's kind of different levels in Vegas.
Uh-huh.
I mean, just like in Dallas, it was all kind of one level for me.
Okay.
In Vegas, you've got like you have your hobbyists, which you'll always have. You have your semi pros, your hobbyists, those guys.
That's interesting to me that there would be hobbyists in Vegas.
Oh yeah, well usually I mean, and these are guys who like have worked the castle, which is weird. Like they have real jobs. Well, it's a lot of well-known magicians in magic had real jobs. Larry Jennings was a plumber. You know, there's a lot of guys who were other who the magic, even though they're well known in the magic community, weren't famous outside of that, you know. So there's a difference between fame in magic world and fame in real world.
Mm-hmm.
And fame in real world, I think, is worse in some ways. But
well, it certainly invades your privacy.
Well, it turns you it turns you from a performer or magician to a celebrity. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's not the point. So you've got like the hobby semi pros, which meet every Wednesday and hang out, and then you've got the people who I say are above my pay grade. You know, you've got the guys who are either have their own show on the Strip, or they live in Vegas and work everywhere else. Kevin James, Jeff McBride, Jeff Hobson, all these guys, okay. They live there. They rarely perform there. It's very rarely perform in Vegas. And then there's the middle-of-the-road guys, me, my friend Kyle, Justin, a lot of us who are out there trying to make more of ourselves and just work for a living. And so you've got that the kind of a three-tier group going on in Vegas. But everybody there takes it, you know, Vegas, everybody there takes it seriously because we're all trying to work.
Sure.
Yeah. It's an art for us. And a lot of us are stage performers. That's where stage magic has kind of gone and all clustered together, because most magic is close-up cards, walk around, that kind of stuff.
Right.
But in Vegas, a lot of it's stage. And since I'm primarily a stage performer, that's where it's taken seriously. And Liz is raising her hand about something.
I think they're all working on stuff because you don't really have many people at all who are born there and raised in Vegas and, hey, I like magic. It's people who have come there because...
to get the hell away from where they grew up.
Right. Because they want to work.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's so, like people who want to get into comics. They all drifted, maybe not as much as they used to, but the time was they all drifted to New York because that's where the two big publishers were. So you could be in Hawaii or Seattle or Arkansas or wherever and just desperate to draw comics. But there came a time, usually when you were like, you know, in your early 20s, when you packed up your portfolio and you just went and did that week in New York.
Well, that's Vegas. Vegas is quote unquote the magic capital. So a lot of people come out there. Now it's like LA. So my opinion is, there are more gigs and there's better opportunity in LA.
Here. I agree.
However, number one, it's LA. Number two,
it's expensive to live
well,
here.
Sure. Well, but there's more competition in LA because there's more people trying to screw you over to get ahead here than Vegas.
You think so?
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
I guarantee would shank you for a good gig in this town.
Well, that's the same with writing, you know?
But in Vegas, we don't have that feel, in my opinion. Because all of us who are out there have a completely different style. We don't have to really compete with one another out there.
Not necessarily. We've got guys out there that will shank you because they're bored.
Well, sure, but that's different. But anyway, yeah, for writing.
They'd be psychopaths wherever they went.
Right, but it's like for acting, you go to LA, you go to New York. You for magic, you go to Vegas or maybe, well, there's guys who come to LA because they want to be part of the castle scene. They want to be part of the Divernon scene.
Yeah.
They want to be the people they emulate. Then there's the people like me who'd rather go and work.
Yeah.
Instead of hang out at an old mansion with a bunch of old guys.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really interesting. And it's funny because a lot of the things that you're talking about in LA, I have found, you know, like I have been exceptionally lucky, you know, but I've fallen in with people like Max and Jonathan and you. And, you know, people always ask, you know, what is it like for a girl in magic? And I'm like, I don't know any different. You know, like, I don't know what is it like for a dude in magic.
Right.
Because all the dudes that I have, you know, come to become close friends with, I'm very selective about which magicians I'll hang out with because I just don't like most of them.
So in your case, it's like Bizarro, more a question of echelons. You're in an echelon of working magicians.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, although I think you probably, well, no, we just do different stuff.
Well, there's a difference there's a lot of people in magic who want to be famous for being magicians. There are people who just want to work.
You know,
I just want to work. I have no interest in being the next Copperfield, Chris Angel, David Blaine, blah, any of that stuff.
But you are having a hard time because you're getting celebrity in magic because people are seeing your inventions. And you can make a mouth at me all you want, but you know it's true.
Yeah.
It's because weird.
But
those
love
are
it.
Brilliant inventions.
Yeah, well, because they come from an irreverent place with the technical know-how background. The thing is if somebody calls out the name of a card pass, you know it.
More or less.
Usually you do.
Well, I mean, and the thing is, I don't even do half the stuff. I just pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I've never studied it. But
you also like it.
Oh, no, you know, I am very often say I love magic, but I really don't like magicians.
Well, you and I have been both saying that for years.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, right?
My wife is shaking her head the same. She doesn't like either one. Like,
I don't
when
like
we
people.
We would.
Magicians aren't really people, so they get their own category.
Yeah.
When we met.
How did you meet?
At the goth club in Dallas. I was.
Okay.
I don't really remember it.
Well, she was drinking at the time.
Oh, I was shit. No,
okay, I can tell you a little bit more about it, though. I was there. I used to go there just for the heck of it. So she was there doing her, getting her drink on. And we'd been both going there for years, never bumped into each other, but she didn't talk to anybody, so that's why. And I never went up and
ran. You went to a club to be alone?
I went there because it was cheap to drink, and it wasn't home.
Okay, yeah. That's fair.
I got really drunk at home, too.
But it was more expensive she was, at home?
Somebody, yeah. No, somebody else got to make the drinks if I went to the bar.
Oh, okay.
When your bartender's as drunk as you are, there's a problem.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I walk outside, and I had a gig coming up at a comedy club with a bunch of magicians. And so I walk outside, and my friend, our mutual friend of ours, Tommy, he says, I walk out, and I'm like, hey, what's up? He says, I'm fine. This is Liz. Because he was that guy. He was the facilitator. He loved to introduce people because he drank a lot too. And he was like, oh, this is Liz. And I go, oh, hello. And I'm in my mind, I'm going, well, hello. I was instantly smitten with this one as soon as I saw her.
She is quite lovely.
Meanwhile, I'm standing there going, my cup is empty.
Yeah, right. And so I did a couple card tricks for her to convince her to come to the show that next weekend.
Yes, because we all know that card tricks don't pick up chicks.
Well, no, I wasn't trying to pick her up. I was trying to get her to come to the show. Right, right. That was what it was for. Now, mind you, the fact that I thought she was hot didn't hurt, but mm-hmm. That's not the point. And so she didn't show up. And I was aww. Like, no, hold on. So there's more to this. So unbeknownst to me, she had gone off to Colorado for like a week or a month or something. What was it? A month?
I don't remember.
Okay, she got off to Colorado to get the hell out of Dodge for a while. I kept going back to the club hoping to accidentally run into her, air quotes again, and which didn't happen. Then she showed up with my friend Tommy to our variety show we started doing around town. And she kept coming out and coming out, and we just kept talking and talking, and over time, here we are.
Nice.
there's way more weird. There's all a little, like, her birthday. We had just met a month before, maybe. Her birthday, she went to the same goth club called The Church. Went out there, and she's like, it's her birthday, none of her friends showed up, and I'm like...
No, it wasn't that they didn't show up. They did not want to hang out. My friends had literally told me to fuck off.
What?
She didn't...
I'm very good at making very... bad decisions.
Her friends were not good people. She made more friends in Vegas in like a year than she did in 4 years in Texas or whatever many years she was there.
And none of them have punched me.
Yeah, right. So, yeah.
There's still time.
But I said, hey, do you want to go to Denny's and get food? And I'm pretty shameless, but when it comes to asking chicks out for like little simple things like, hey, you want to get toast? I could die. I had to like build myself up to that and just work up the nerve to even ask that.
That's really cute.
Well, I think the problem is you're asking about toast.
Well, no, I'm just saying that's what we ended up getting.
Paul.
He keeps
always thinking about toast. He actually got the name of the website Thinking About Toast.
I'm making a whole website called Thinking About Toast.
Nice.
.com.
So we ended up going from the Denny's.
You better get it up now.
Because you know Denny's, because ooh, hey, big spender. And then we went to...
Okay, moon's over my hammy.
Right. And then we went to... I was living behind a funeral home at the time, and I had to go...
Of course you were.
Of course I was.
Because you were so goth, it hurts.
Right. And it was not in the funeral home. It was the house behind it. That was the employee guest house, whatever. And so I'm hanging out back there, but I had to go into the house, into the funeral home to fix their computers, because that's kind of why I was there. It was kind of tech support stuff. And then my friend James showed her around, and there was a dead lady on the embalming table.
And
I went,
and ran.
Because I wasn't expecting to see dead grandma when I went, because normally there's nobody in the embalming room.
Mm-hmm.
And there was many other weird things that happened throughout our courtship, but she married me, so here we are.
I'm glad she did, because I love her.
Yeah.
I approve. I remember the very first time I met her, she left the room and I was like, mm-hmm. And you were like, well, I'm glad I wasn't really asking for your approval. I'm like, I know, but I'm giving it anyway. I like this one.
Oh, yeah, no, I made
sure. You're not keeping her if I don't like her.
Yeah, I made a...
I would have put up a stink. No, I have no influence, but I still... I wouldn't be sitting here for sure.
Yeah, I've made some mistakes in the past. Yeah. I made some mistakes in the past and I learned from them.
Well, you found the best.
Yeah.
She's spectacular.
Well, me and her don't believe in divorce, so we're kind of stuck with each other no matter how fucked up
us
it gets.
Yeah. Yeah, us too.
I believe, you know, you better be sure before you make that leap. And everybody, all my friends were freaked out. They're like, you, Captain, I don't want to get married. I'm going to get married. And I'm like...
Captain, I don't even go to other people's weddings.
Well, yeah. It's because they're boring as hell.
Ours wasn't. You didn't come to ours.
I was in Texas.
I'm surprised I got him to come to ours.
Hey, okay, but mine, okay, so I said if I'm going to get married, I'm going to do it my way. Now, my original way involved being gunned down at my wedding, which was hilarious, but that wasn't going to happen. So I got carried down the aisle in a coffin by pallbearers because groomsmen, who cares? She made her own wedding dress and walked down the aisle to the Imperial Death March from Star Wars. Wars.
That's my friend did that one.
Yeah, yeah, we got married in a haunted house my friend runs, and then our reception was at my parents' house. There was a punk band, a bonfire, and the cops showed up. So, good times.
I love it. I love this whole story.
I was so proud of the cops showing up.
Yes,
I was cheering and hopping up and down. I was so damn excited about the cops getting called to our wedding reception.
It's wonderful.
The thing that I'm most proud of about our wedding was it was all friends and family. We hired no outside third parties. Like the mm-hmm. photographer, the quote-unquote limo, which was a hearse. Hearse limo, actually. The venue, everything was the cake doesn't count. That was just bought and brought by your father. It's the same thing. It was supposed to be made. The ring was made by a friend of mine. Wow. You know, everything was not strangers. Everybody was all people we knew and stuff. That's so cool. That and our wedding, I think, cost maybe $1,000 to do.
Nice.
And your marriage has endured. And that, I mean, that's the thing.
Well, so it's only been 2 years.
That's all right.
Yeah. Modeling mine.
That counts. You're in LA. That counts. That's like a lifetime.
Yeah.
We had two factors where we almost weren't legally married, because our friend who did the ceremony was flying out that night.
Oh yeah, the dude who married us was ordained off the internet. He was a friend of mine. So yeah, we forgot to sign the thing.
He's about to leave for the airport, and nothing's been signed. And then earlier in the evening, my idea for Unity Candle was a bonfire where we both blew fire at it. Hey, that's much better.
We were in Texas. Woo!
Only he was supposed to teach me to blow fire beforehand.
Uh-oh.
So about 15 minutes before this. I'm teaching her to breathe fire.
He taught me with, water the day before. So we're doing a practice run with fire behind his house. My parents haven't shown up yet. My mother comes walking around the door. I've got a mouth full of lamp oil.
Oh, no.
Megan Elizabeth Ho, what the fuck are you doing? So I'm holding the torch and I'm like, can't spit. Sure as hell not swallowing the fluid. So she finally just goes, just do it. We go down there, and I'm not doing very good big fireballs, and he has squirted lighter fluid everywhere, including over by my feet.
Oh, no.
He lights the tree. The tree goes up over by me. He grabs me by the back of the shirt and yanks backwards because he damn near lit me on fire.
Oh, my God.
Because that's love. Yeah. A burning ring of fire.
Love is stomping your burning wife out.
Tuck and roll. Stop, drop, and roll.
So, yeah. So, I figure the next number of years is going to be interesting and fun.
Uh-huh. Well, the past two have been pretty fun.
We have people in Vegas. I want to talk about this. If for anybody out there listening to this, I would like to just do me a favor. If you guys have kids, don't ask people who don't want kids. Like, why are you not having kids? Don't badger people who don't want kids. Leave them the
inappropriate response
alone, please.
Some of us understand we should not reproduce, and the world should support that decision.
Yeah, I mean, we people who look at us like we just kicked a puppy when we say we don't want to have kids. And they just look at us like plague victims, like, no, screw you. And so we decided, she was sitting there next to me at this one house, and came up with the idea of just saying, I should just burst into tears and say I can't, make them feel bad. It's like, you want to make me feel...
It got really bad because I was talking about, I should burst into tears and explain that I can't have children, and da-da-da, and we almost couldn't get married because legally in the state of Texas, if you've had a sex change, you can't get married. And just see if they connect.
And let's just make them uncomfortable as much as possible. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, you know what? Fine. You want to play this game?
You know what? We have never, even our therapist told us not to have children. She did. She said, I prohibit you from having children until one of you grows up. That is exactly what she said.
We take Super Egan and Rashi with us every place. So
yeah,
we walk
have
in
fake kids into
it. We adopt retarded 20-year-olds as our children.
Oh, well, there you go. We have like 4 kids at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully, they live
last
elsewhere.
One of them needs a helmet,
including the cat.
I love your cat. I love your cat.
You should come visit.
I tried to give Liz a small quartz stone, and she was like, no, this is a choking hazard for my cat. I can't own this. And I was like, that's a rather large rock. And she was like, Hence the reason it's a choking hazard. I must return
this. The cat licks the outlets.
This is the same. You come home and she's got a paper clip and she's poking it in. And you're like, that's brilliant and stupid at the same time.
She sat there one night for 2 hours, about an inch and a half away from the outlet, staring. I poke her in the head. She comes right back to the outlet. This is the same cat who, when she was younger, twice got her head stuck in the garbage disposal.
What was she doing down there?
She didn't know either. I don't know. She didn't know.
Suicide. I can't reach.
Well, okay, so I did some research on what kind of cat we thought it is, because it's a Siamese, but it's a long-haired, and according to what we figured out, she's what's called a Balinese, which basically is long-haired Siamese. Mm-hmm. And according to sources on the internet, they say they are a very curious breed, and also the smartest of the long-haired cat breeds. I think it skips a generation. She is curious, and she's not stupid, but she ain't smart.
She's not a cat either. Like, you can drop her in any direction you want, and that's the direction she's going to land. Like, you can drop her straight on her head, she'll look up at you like, I don't understand what just happened.
She's like a ferret mixed with a cat. It's weird.
Mm. Ew.
Like, she steals stuff and just goes hopping around the house.
She carpet swims. This cat will crawl along, like swim across the carpet on her side.
All four of her legs work. She doesn't always remember this. She'll just swim, just dragging herself and, across the living room.
We didn't mention what the cat's name is, did we?
No.
Bacon.
Of course.
The cat's name is Bacon.
Our neighbors have a dog named Fish.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I actually thought it'd be really cool to start naming animals after elements on the periodic chart.
Yes?
Come here, Barium. Come on, Borax. Yeah. Come here.
Argon's you know, the woman missing.
Yeah. Argon. The woman up the street, whom I'm pointing to, and Paul actually looked, which was wonderful. I saw her down the street, and she has a dog named Leslie.
Right.
And I said, oh, that's interesting. And I said, she had mentioned she had a cat. And I said, what's your cat's name? And she said, Pamela. And I said, why did you name your cat Pamela? And she said, why would I name my cat something like Jelly Bean or Misty? Why would I do that? She goes, that's insulting to give them a pet name. If they're going to coexist with you, you should give them a human name. So she said, I like the name Pamela, and that's what I gave my cat. Because Misty's so insulting. There was a woman named Misty in one of my seances last night.
We were in that one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and actually, I wasn't going to say anything at the time, but I was going to say we actually had a dog named Misty, because you were talking about animals' name. However, in the I think the 80s, late 70s, that was a very popular name.
Yeah.
Because I went to a school with like three of them in Texas.
Well, in Texas
cats
it was.
Misties.
Misties.
But it's usually Misty Joe or Misty L.
No, it was just straight up. Well, I mean, I'm sure they had middle names, but nobody called that.
Oh, all the Misties that I knew, because I knew a lot of them in Texas, and coming from Detroit, they were none.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, there were one or two when I got to high school. It was like, oh, there's another Misty here?
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, because every once in a while, when you have an uncommon name, it's like, well, what does someone named Misty look like?
Well, see, I never thought of Misty as an uncommon name.
Because you went to school with three of them when you were little, and you grew up in the South.
Yeah.
Well, I grew up in the North, and it was very rare. Did you know any Misties when you were little that weren't pets?
No.
There you go.
Yeah.
Play Misty for me. That's it.
Yeah, that's not a person. That's a song and a movie. Yeah.
Look at me. I'm as helpless.
Wait, what is it? June is busted out? What is this?
June is busted out all over.
Although the tree is very high.
You're walking. He's making up lyrics now, too.
Misty, yeah, he's singing Misty.
She's under the tree.
This might be my walk favorite my karaoke.
Yeah. Paul Dini sings all your favorite hits.
Sings words from your
Paul Dini sings none of your favorite
hits.
In
right.
one note.
Paul Dini sings Will Shatner's greatest hits.
She packed my bags last night. Pre-flight. Down in the Shire lives a little hobbit named Bilbo.
Can I just request, like, Paul Dini does Gregorian chants now?
Isn't that what we've been doing this whole time?
No, this is better.
I like the Gregorian chants.
No, don't take your arms away from me and cross them and pout. Just stop it.
Can I sing War March of the Priests?
No, you're done.
By Mendelssohn.
Where's my lighter?
There are no lyrics to it.
You don't encourage him. You stop it.
But if he's doing Gregorian chants, we don't discuss magic.
Dun 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 dun
dun, dun. Actually, I know the one, Paul. Paul, I know what you'd be best at. Show tunes.
Come on. What? Yes.
Show tunes, cartoon theme songs. I bet you could.
Yeah, I'll take a request.
Yeah.
Just one. Just one. Just one.
Okay, let's. You know, I won't go obscure. We'll do easy. We'll do easy underdog because I know you can do that one.
Oh, he clears his throat.
Nice, the music and everything.
Everybody. When in this world the headlines read of those whose hearts are filled with greed, who rob and steal from those who need, the cry goes out with blinding speed for underdog. All right. Underdog. Underdog.
Underdog.
Speed of lightning, roar, thunder, fighting all who rob and plunder. Underdog. Underdog.
You're the one who wanted us to do this with you.
Underdog.
I didn't want you to do this with me. Ow. My thumb's
Have you ever, have you heard the Butthole Surfers version of that?
Yeah.
It's awesome.
That's hot. Yeah,
all right, I got
Saturday
one more.
Mornings no, cartoons cover.
You said one. You upped me and asked for one.
Okay.
What were you going to do just out of curiosity?
Well, since you asked. Hercules, hero of song and story. Hercules, winner of ancient glory. Fighting for the right, fighting with his might, with the strength of 10 ordinary men. Hercules, people are safe.
We need
when
a webcam for this. This is brilliant.
Hercules, only the evil fear him. Iron in his thighs, fire in his eyes, courage in his heart. Fire in every part of the mighty Hercules.
This show has to be a video cast.
I screwed up the lyrics.
Yeah, that's great.
So I used fire twice, and it's
you know what?
It's no iron in his thighs.
No, don't.
Kindness and his softness in his eyes. Okay, anyway.
Inappropriate response.
I've moved into tears, my love.
They're embarrassment tears.
Really?
That was great.
Okay, you need to sing now.
Bring it back
around to the podcast and magic. Saw Scott Adsit last night.
Oh, finally.
Finally
we
got
need
to meet
get
him.
Scott Adsit on here. Yeah. He's in town for another couple weeks.
He's regularly mentioned on the podcast for some
He's
reason.
He's in here almost every week. We've talked about y'all a lot, too.
Uh-oh.
But Scott Adsit.
We're going to have to go back and listen now.
Yeah.
They're like, we didn't even know you did a podcast until today.
Well, no, I didn't realize when you said podcast, this was the Radio Rashi one.
Oh, yeah.
I knew about this because I think I did the original website
you
for
did.
It.
Yeah, absolutely.
You did.
And then you made a better one.
No, we just made a WordPress one. That's the only difference, and that's why you didn't do it.
WordPress. Die.
Don't use that word around him anymore.
The Voldemort of coding.
I don't know if you know about this. I made stop it. I made a blog online. It's called Angry Web Design. Whenever I get mad,
funny.
If you go on that, it's Blogspot, Angry Web Design, blah, 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 whatever. The symbol is the Internet Explorer symbol stabbed with a knife and blood just going everywhere.
That's
oh, nice.
Because, well, yeah, Internet Explorer sucks. But,
yes, it does.
But here's the problem. It's like with magic, with anything. Whenever you do anything specialty, any specialty thing, and I'm sure Paul will understand this too, you can't really complain to the people who do it because they're like, I know. But you can't complain to people who don't know it because they're like, what the hell are you talking about?
Yeah.
JavaScript, qua. And so I said, screw it. The internet has to listen to me complain. So I made a journal where I could just go and wax angry about whatever, which is also why I have a magic journal too called Why Am I Stuck in Magician Hell? .com.
And one of the most recent entries was this MistyLee.com thing that
No. I just realized I didn't have the time to give it the care that it needed and for what you wanted. That's all.
So. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, it's taking, there's a team of developers on it now because it was so involved.
It's going to be, yeah, see, that's the thing. It's going to be better the way, it's probably better off the way you're doing it. Now, here's the thing. Once it's implemented, if you need anything fixed, I can do that.
Well, it's funny because I'll actually show you the back and forth between me and the company. I actually, I sent you one of the things that they said, but I'll say this
maybe.
One first. He wrote me back and he said, well, that's something you can change after we have it published. And I literally wrote him back and I said, I need you to understand that I am completely illiterate in this kind of changes, and I need you to do all of this on your end and for it to go live, because I will be unable to do anything but simple updates.
Well,
and it's not because I don't want to learn.
Right.
You know, it's because the amount of time. You have better shit to do. What?
You have better shit to do.
Well, mm-hmm. it's not even that. It's just the amount of time that I would have to invest to get up to any kind of competency in that, and it changes so
rapidly.
Like
I said, if there's any problems, once it's started, I can take over and fix anything it's started.
You've done every website I've ever had. You've done something to it.
Well, I've never created one from scratch, but
yes, you have. Well, we took one off every template I have ever changed. Right. I have called you and said, "Can you do mouse over buttons?" Yeah. Yes, I can. How do I optimize this PSD? All right, just you know what? Get on Skype. Let me show you my screen.
Right, but anyway, my point is, once they get it up and running, I can fix the stuff once it's up. But I couldn't get it with because of WordPress. WordPress, my arch nemesis. my other arch nemesis.
I will tell you what you did do, though, was you got all the accounts up and running. Yeah. All the CMS and all that stuff was installed.
Yeah.
And they sent me a note and they said, "Oh, we're going to need the WordPress and CMS information." And I said, wait a minute. And I went back and I looked and I just copied and pasted the emails and they said, "We have everything we need. Thank you." And I thought, God bless you, Bizarro. Because I had no idea. And I said, "I don't even know what those letters stand for."
Content management system.
Thank you.
Yep.
No idea.
Nor do you give a shit. No.
And then they put the designer, because I did a contest, which was really fun, for the design of my front page. And all these designers were competing and I chose the winner. And the winner put a placeholder photograph of some really cheesy dude pulling a rabbit out of a hat.
Yeah, it almost looks like a young Ryan Reynolds doing magic.
It really does. Weird. And I thought, that's not real. No magicians look like that guy that do bunnies. Nobody. I mean, maybe Joel Ward gets close. But
right. Nobody does bunnies anyway.
Well, Greg Wilson did. That was another one of the magicians I forgot. Greg Wilson on Tuesday. Right. Yeah. So, anyway, they coded him in permanently. Like, he was going to be, because I was thinking that the image was intended to be pulled from YouTube. Like, here's our most recent video.
It's what's called a poster frame. That can be easily changed.
Yeah, well, that's what they said.
Yeah.
But I wrote them a note, and I said, "I don't want that guy." And I said, "I don't want him at all." And they sent me a note, and I said, "I also don't want the top hat and magic wand that was stuck over to the left, nor do I want the rocket ship and moon that's on the left side. I don't want those." And the guy wrote me back, and he said, "Those are very easily changed, but let me include it in your crib sheet." But it was just like, I was like, "I don't want that guy on my website.
Do not want
that guy." And then I sent Jimmy a note last night, and I was telling him what happened, and I said, "Although I'm tempted to leave him because he's hilarious." This is ridiculous.
Just a random magician.
It's just, it's like an eye stock.
Generico
photo.
The great.
Yes.
The great generic.
Normo.
Yes.
You know what? I saw a magic t-shirt today on that. I got a tweet from Invisible Threads today, so I might as well just plug them because they were so nice. But they've got a new t-shirt for babies, and it says, "The Great Foodini, making food disappear and reappear since birth."
Yeah.
Everyone's going, no.
I saw a really great... I think my friend made this for her kid. I'm not sure. Or she saw it somewhere else and made her own, or she just made her own, and I don't remember it properly. But it said, "My mommy puts out." Mm-hmm. A little jumper for kids.
I sent my niece one from T-Shirt Hell that says, "Baby, not midget, do not toss."
Yes. Liz wants to do something very interesting. She has a website called carrioncreations.com. Mm-hmm. And
spell it, please, for them.
Carrion. It's just like carrion, like vultures.
Yeah, do you not know how to spell it? Carrion.
Look, if they don't know how to spell it, they don't need to be going to the website.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's fair. I'll give you that.
But she does prop making and sewing and stuff in various capacities and creepy teacups.
Oh,
and
sneaking back
mm-hmm.
in.
And
they snuck into my seance last night. Sneaky snuck.
You brought it up.
Did I? Yeah. I thought y'all did.
That was you.
I want to blame you, though. I don't want to be responsible for my own
agony.
Wait
till you see where they pop up next.
No. Oh, no. Did you hide them in my house?
Anyways, not yet. So, but honey, explain to them what you want to do with the stuff.
Basically, almost kind of gothic, Victorian-era baby clothes.
Okay.
Just period-accurate baby clothes, because they're hard to find.
And usually
and, like,
unused.
Not everybody wants to put their little...
Inappropriate response.
Trophy and a pink jumper.
I've never heard of anyone referring to a baby as that.
Yeah, I usually just hear mutant.
That's really funny.
And a little reminder to swallow.
Okay. I love it.
So are we talking kind of like a Wednesday Addams kind of look? Or
maybe.
Or just something a little more like...
different.
Gashly Crumb Tinies.
Yeah, probably close to that too. Well, those
all fall down the stairs and die.
Or assaulted by bears.
Yeah. Hope.
Or die of ennui.
Oh, yeah, that was my favorite.
That was always weird to me. I'm like, what?
Or Fanny sucked dry by a leech.
Yeah.
That would be the bathing suit line.
Yeah.
No, I just kind of make whatever comes up into my brain.
And you do everything.
But she doesn't know it usually when she starts.
No. Well, because she had no
idea she could sculpt foam. She had no idea she could sculpt foam.
Yeah,
with all the foam sculptures and products and things. I'd never carved anything. I don't do artwork.
Were you there?
I saw her hand. Remember, because I said that was my favorite thing you did. What we're talking about in shorthand is when the Magic Castle had its 50th anniversary party in January. The amazing Jonathan came out, and he is also a magician from Detroit, but he's also very irreverent.
And he lives in Vegas, yes. Mm-hmm.
Super nice guy from what I understand, yes?
Yeah, he's been nice to us, yeah.
Yeah, good. Well, that's all that matters to me.
Yeah.
So he came out and did a really funny foam trick with a carved pumpkin and an owl, and what else was it?
Turtle and a fish.
Turtle and fish.
Yeah. And Liz carved them all, and I was complimenting them. I had sent Jimmy a text message. I said, "You did this thing with foam, and it was pretty funny." And he said, "Yep. Did you like that?" And I said, "I did. The foam was really good." And he goes, "Oh yeah, you know the person who made those?" And I said, "Do I now?" And it was her. So I was like all fangirled out for a minute. I said, "Oh, that's kind of cool."
Jeff has me making stuff now. And
penises? Is that for him?
No, that was for that was for an old friend of yours.
For a hypnotist.
Oh.
And then. Jeff has me working on some stuff, so apparently I am along with Jonathan bringing foam magic back.
Yeah.
You know what I love is that you moved to Vegas, and this is the story of how you became the foam girl. You know what I mean? Like it's like I fell into this. How many times have you heard that story? It's like I don't know how I just happened to be the only one who did it, and all these famous people are asking me to do it, and here I am. You know.
Well, I mean that's the thing too. I mean, there used to be a lot of people who did that. There was all these. There were some bizarre foam to other objects out there. There is one that somebody told me about. Earl Chaney. He said it's a bunch of bananas to monkey.
No, it's a monkey to a bunch of bananas. Okay. It pulls up and the bananas all pop out.
Well, you know, it makes just as much sense. And then somebody told me they found one. It was like a watermelon to pig. I was like, what? And
it's so easy.
Right. Well, there's a guy in Mexico, apparently, who Jonathan found a lot of this crazy stuff from, and he bought all of it, but it started deteriorating because it's foam, and after you use it so much. And then he had some other ones made that were okay looking, if you think owls look like bowling pins with cat ears. And then when Liz got to it, I was like, wow, that actually looks like an owl. Mm-hmm. You can totally tell that's an owl.
And the pumpkin looks really good.
Yeah, well,
you know what would be cool? Like a bunch of bananas and you pull one and it turns into a toucan.
Yeah.
Why?
Right now she's working on...
Well, it's going to look like... Because you've got the yellow curve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. She's actually working on...
I should never do rats for Princess Magic.
Oh, yeah. There's a really funny one she's working on right now that... She's just making list of ideas because Jonathan wanted a couple others. And she just made this one that I start giggling at, and it's top hat to octopus.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
I went, that makes no sense.
Octopus is way easier than the top hat.
Really? How do you even begin to sculpt something like that?
I don't know. I sit there with a pair of scissors and just kind of start going at it.
And you just, and then eventually. Voices
in her head tell her what to do.
Yeah.
Pretty much, because I have no concept of sculpting.
Well, have you ever heard how marble sculptors used to just talk about it in the Renaissance era? They're like, I just chip away what doesn't belong.
Hmm.
You know, they
speaks to it.
Yeah, it speaks to me, and I just chip away what doesn't need to be there. And I'm like, okay, sure, yeah. I came home one day, she was covered in and there was a circle of foam bits around her.
There was like a 4-foot circle of just tiny pieces of foam, because you can only cut so much with scissors at once.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in my hair, it's all over my, it's up my pants leg. Everywhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But his stuff looks great. Like the new thing she's working on for Jeff is like this flowery kind of thing, and the leaves of the one she has were just, you know, they were just pieces of flat cut out. She actually likes to put detail, like the owl has feather definition. The other one, it was just smooth. It's like there's ridges. As a performer doing what I've done for so long, what I consider good and perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Is way above what other people expect.
Mm-hmm.
So, and she's the same way. She looks at them and goes, it's all right. And everybody's like, holy crap, that is amazing. It's like our standards are way higher than everybody else's. And I think
there's a reason why I don't do painting or artwork or anything. It's never good enough. It's just infuriating.
But all artists feel that way about their art.
Absolutely, yeah, but yes, I look at it and nothing's ever finished either.
Yeah. When I was a kid, I made
I've had a lot of things like that. Like all this. I'm sorry for interrupting you. I'll just finish this quickly and then we'll turn it over to you completely. But when I was working on the seance stuff, you know, like I was like, I don't like this. It's not enough. It's not enough. And people are like, oh my God, can I just have that? You know, and it's like, yeah, just take it, get it out of here. When you were a kid, what?
Well, it's like you said, I didn't know anything about foam. Although I'd seen a lot of programs on the Muppets and puppets like that. Mm. And they said, well, we sculpt them out of foam. So, and there was no other information forthcoming. So I had a rat character that I liked drawing, and I went to the foam store and I just got big pieces of foam. I got a big block and I traced his face and I cut it out of foam with a scissors or a knife, and I got it down as soft as I could. And then I sewed it onto, I got big, you know, and I covered it with brown fur, and then I shaved the fur away so we'd have more definition. But left it long on the body part, and I made a Muppet out of it, and then I sewed it together because I had stuck it together with glue because I had no idea what I was doing. And by the time it was done, it didn't look bad, you know, ping pong balls for eyes, a handball for a nose, and everything like that. And
it
worked okay, you know. And I took the coat hangers from the dry cleaner and unstretched them and made rod arms, you know, so I could move his arms and everything.
That's awesome.
And it's like, well, there were no books on it. There was no internet to watch anything.
There was
on.
No puppet school to go to.
And this was like, well, this is as good as anything else I can come up with now.
Well, the Sylvester, our friend Sylvester the Jester, talks about how sometimes it's okay to be an idiot.
Yeah.
In his creativity lecture, because then you don't know what's right and wrong. You have no starting point. You just go until you figure it out.
Yeah. Our friend Allison Abate last week. Who's a producer of Frankenweenie. She was producer
Nightmare
on
Before
Nightmare
Christmas.
Before Christmas.
Yeah.
She said the same thing about Nightmare.
Yeah, she said we were doing stuff that people said was cutting edge because we didn't, you know, we just had an idea. And we didn't know it couldn't be done or hadn't been done. We were just figuring it out as we went because we wanted to see this one thing. Mm-hmm. And how many times has that happened for an inventor? It's like,
that's exactly how it happens, is just not knowing.
It's just the school of make stuff up.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, I'm a big fan of screw it, let's see what happens.
Yeah.
And a lot of people a lot of people have trouble stepping outside that comfort zone. You did for a while.
A long time. I'm just stepping out of it now. And I think a lot of that had to do with Second City.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
all the stuff I was telling her for years to do, she finally started doing.
Yeah, just now. I would say, honestly, within the past 6 or 8 months, I just started getting brave. And it's funny because so many of the things I go back to, it's like, holy crap, you had these ideas like 10 years ago. Why didn't you just do this 10 years ago? And the answer is because I wasn't ready.
Yeah.
Because now I'm ready. It's funny, I was just telling you guys before we started the podcast, I took a pitch meeting on Tuesday. We're selling a show. We're marketing a show around here, a female magician and I. And we took a pitch meeting, and all the questions that this guy was asking, I said, it is remarkable how every moment in your life sometimes qualifies you to live in the one you're in.
Mm-hmm.
Because all the questions he was asking, all the answers he was demanding of us, I had real life experience to really answer those questions. I mean, and I had so much more that I could have said, not because, it's funny because I'm not a famous magician. Like, no one knows really who I am.
There's no such thing except for three people.
Right.
Four people living in it. Well, three people living right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, there's no such thing as a famous magician. You go and ask anybody in the street there are people to this day, could not tell you who Penn and Teller are.
Yeah.
There are people who don't know Amazing Jonathan, and we know them because, I mean, we see him on TV. There are people who probably don't know who the hell Houdini or Copperfield is. They may go, is he that old guy in Vegas? I mean, that's maybe what they say now. I mean, there is no such thing as a famous magician. Houdini is the name that everybody knows.
Know what a magician is. If you show them a picture of Mandrake, you go, oh, he's a magician.
Yes.
And then they laugh and they don't want to see it.
Right.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, exactly. But it doesn't matter if you're not a famous magician because there aren't any.
Well, if someone asked me who the most famous golfer was, I'd be like, you know, like if they told me his name.
Well, Tiger Woods, because he had sex with little girls.
Oh, that's right.
He's not famous because he's a golfer.
Right. He's a celebrity for another reason.
Yeah. No, he was famous he wasn't even famous for being a golfer. He was famous for being a black golfer.
Mm-hmm.
Had he been a white guy doing that stuff, he just would have been a golfer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Half the country doesn't know who Joe Biden is.
Well, neither does Joe Biden.
I actually had that little incident the other day. I was watching everything I know about politics. I know from the Daily Show because I don't give a shit about politics. I'm watching them report on the address that happened, and there's two white dudes behind him. And I say, and I pointed to Liz, and I said, those two guys look like they're just trying not to roll their eyes. And she said, well, that one is Biden, the vice president. I went, oh, well, yeah, okay. Mm. The other one is the Republican speaker of the House said, well, he's definitely fighting the urge to roll his eyes right now. No.
I'm pretty sure Biden was just sitting there trying to figure out why they put cheese on fish sandwiches. And I hope he comes up with that answer, because I've been really curious.
Okay, we're going
to... I don't know if there is an answer for that.
No, there, you know what? Let's other than McDonald's is screwed up.
Let's chew on this for a week, and we'll come back next week, and maybe we'll have an answer by then.
All right. In the meantime, let's go to McDonald's for a fillet of fish.
Let's go to experiment.
Double fillet of fish.
And they've lowered the price for Lent.
What about those fish bites?
I can't do that. I don't know. Are you supposed to bite the fish, or do they bite you? Yeah.
If we're going to go out, I think Paul should sing us out. He should be our closing credits.
Yes, I definitely agree.
Okay.
You know, for as much as I tease you, you really do have a lovely voice.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yippee-ki-yo-ki-yay, galloping round your way, there goes Crick-Draw McGraw, the highfalutinest, fastest shootinest cowboy you ever saw.
That's enough.
That's Crick-Draw McGraw. It's all right, Misty?
Is it done?
Just say it's all right.
It's all right.
We're done.
This has been another episode of Radio Rashi. If you've enjoyed this episode, let everyone know by leaving a review in the iTunes Store. It's a great way to help others find us. You can also leave comments on RadioRashi.com, Facebook.com/RadioRashi, or follow us on Twitter @RadioRashi or @Paul_Dini to leave us questions. Thanks for listening, and tell your friends.